The 21st Century Road to Housing Act is now a federal law. The law aims to boost housing affordability and construction across the country, though a variety of incentive programs and regulation changes as well.
In Wisconsin, a Forward Analytics study found the state needs to build at least 84,000 new homes by 2030 to keep up with demand.
Since 2018, the median price for a single-family home has more than doubled to $360,000.
What will this new federal law mean for home builders and home buyers here in the state? Andy Sellner is a partner for Allaire Homes Green Bay and president of the Wisconsin Builders Association. Andy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
In both the hats, as you wear, with Allaire Homes and the Builders Association, big picture, what's your initial reaction to this road to housing bill becoming law?
I think it's a great step forward. It's a big animal, that's for sure. We're early on in getting across the finish line with it. So, yeah, there's a lot to uncover and a lot of unknowns yet, as any large bill, when it comes to the table, you know, we got to unpack a lot of things.
Like you mentioned, it covers a lot of ground, 380 pages long. You pointed us toward one. I was thinking mostly about, you know, new construction. You pointed us toward the Whole Home Repairs Act that's part of this new law. What does that do?
This really creates a HUD program to support state, local whole home repair programs and provides grants, forgivable loan programs to homeowners, landlords for home repairs and modifications. What I like about this, in doing just the quick high-level research for Wisconsin and how it affects us locally, yeah, right now the average age of a home in Wisconsin, I believe it was somewhere around 45 years old, and over half of the housing stock in the state was built before 1980. So when we put that into numbers and how this program can help locally, state level, I mean, it's a huge opportunity for those home buyers that are buying their first homes that, you know, are getting those fixer-uppers. But the way inflation is going, the way pricing looks, you know, they struggle with home repairs. You know, how do we update the furnace? How do you update some electrical systems? Where if we can create these programs to help those new home buyers, it just opens up the door of opportunities for those maybe waiting on the fence, looking to buy their first home, knowing that, hey, we still have to stave up for home repairs, or really get discouraged when they're looking at homes. You know, this program can help alleviate some of that.
So that's low-hanging fruit in some ways, right? It can be a tall order to build lots of houses. If we have the houses and they just need a little extra love, that could be a quicker fix to some of our housing shortage needs. Do I have that right?
That is true, yeah. And I think that's what we really need to look at. Like you said, what are the low-hanging fruits that we can tackle issues right off the bat? You know, there's other provisions kind of tying to that Home Repairs Act. There's the Title IV, it's Accessing the American Dream. There's a number of sections in there that kind of speak to that as well because, okay, they might be able to get those programs up and running, but there's also... there's one creating incentives for small dollar loan originators. So some of these sections in this title requires evaluation of the impact of current points and fee thresholds for small dollar loan lending. So when you think about it, if you're going in for a loan, and sometimes it's difficult to get those home repair loans. So a lot of these provisions really kind of look at that as well of like, how can we incentivize lending institutions to be able to create small dollar loan mortgages for some of these homeowners. You know, so that's another low-hanging fruit that we can just tackle right away.
Now, you mentioned this is rolling out. It'll take a while to see the impact. When it comes to those things we've talked about so far, the Whole Home Repairs Act, those smaller home repair loan incentives, if people listening right now are thinking, hey, I want to do that, can they do it now? Or do a lot of I's and T's have to get dealt with before it actually is on the ground here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, great question, Rob. Like any other bill, they do take time to really just hammer out those details of it. When it comes to funding and grants, like any other bill, they take time to get through the funding. Where are those funds coming from? Do they have to go through the budget process yet in the next cycle? So they might be years away. They may be closer than we think too. It just all depends on how and what's tied to those provisions are. I mean, we even on the state level passed Act 120 for neighborhood improvement districts. So there's some stuff working on our state level that's already passed in the state. You know, it helps give municipalities new financing tools to create neighborhood improvement districts, you know, levy special assessments to fund infrastructures. You know, there's meaningful options for our local municipalities right here and now that just got passed this spring.
Another focus in the new law has to do with streamlining some federal permitting and environmental reviews, especially when federal money is involved in building. I know things get complicated. There's different levels of regulation. How much of an impact does a federal tweak to that kind of streamlining of permitting and review have when it comes to creating housing?
Well, I think every little bit helps, you know, whether it's on the federal level or state level. It's making that awareness and what areas are federal programs tied to any local programs that might be slowing us down as well. So it's great to see that, you know, they're looking at reforming some of those areas and helping out and kind of pushing some of those regulations back to the states and local municipalities to help make those decisions easier and streamline that process.
On a related note, the Road to Housing Act tries to incentivize local governments to promote new housing using grant programs and saying, hey, you make it easier to build, we'll make it easier for you to get grants. I'm summing up pretty tersely there. Is that something you see being helpful?
Very helpful. Very helpful, Rob. You know, and we even look at that locally, too. And it's and I'd like to see that the federal program is helping that out because it's going to help us on a state level. You know, locally, we've recently passed Acts 237 and 239, you know, expanding WIDA program and updating those provisions that we already passed locally. So it's exciting to see that on the federal side, that's going to help us locally and get those provisions through to be able to help our local municipalities. Because when it comes down to it, we got to work side by side with our local governments to help these programs get used.
We're talking about the Road to Housing Act becoming law and how it could affect Wisconsin. Andy Sellner is with us, Wisconsin Builders Association president and home building partner. Andy, when I've talked to people about housing in the last bunch of years, really, I've heard things like, okay, you want to build luxury housing you could sell for a lot of money? You can do that. Low-income housing that has big federal subsidies, you can do that. But that starter home, either for a family to buy, maybe a young family, or even a rental home, that's where it's hard. The economics are hard to get those built. What do you see here in Wisconsin when it comes to that first, not necessarily subsidized housing, but workforce affordable housing for that young family?
Yeah, it definitely is a big issue we're looking at and trying to tackle as well locally. It all starts with our, like I said, our local municipalities and how can we help them and incentivize them in a way to work alongside our builders to be able to get those programs started. You know, a number of acts we've passed recently in spring, you know, our Truth in Planning Act, our Voluntary PAYGO Workforce Housing TID. So there's a number of programs that we are locally working on to help create those districts and help create those local municipalities and really create less friction is probably a good way to put it. When it comes to regulations and it comes to getting development started and it comes to getting affordable housing built in Wisconsin.
I hear people raise concerns about zoning, things like you have to have certain lot sizes, you can't have X number of buildings within a certain number of acreage, things like that. Do you see that as an obstacle, a roadblock to this kind of housing?
Yes, that is definitely an obstacle we're looking at. And that's where we're working together with some of the local municipalities and to get that message across of, hey, what can we do to help alleviate some of that regulatory pressure and to be able to open the doors to some affordable housing?
You mentioned inflation earlier. I want to talk specifically about construction materials. We heard supply chain problems after COVID raised the cost of lumber, windows, other products. Then there have been concerns about tariffs were relevant to the products used to build houses. What do you see when it comes to the cost of the stuff we build houses out of?
It is high, and COVID was the defining factor for a lot of our pricing. Like anything else, as it goes up, it hardly comes down because of inflationary rates. So we're definitely seeing an increase on it. And it's one of those kind of the plateau that's a new norm of where we're looking at for our pricing of housing nowadays.
And how about the labor side of things? I've heard concerns, again, when I've talked to builders and housing experts that we don't always have the workforce we need. What are you seeing along those lines?
Yeah, that's always a constant struggle, Rob. It's something we're definitely keeping our eyes on. When we look at even our our generations, you know, the baby boomer generation, they're going to be retiring in the next few years. That's going to be a huge gap to fill when it comes to our workforce and building new homes and getting trade labor in. So it's a number of different areas we're looking at, you know, different technologies. How is AI going to be helping us in the future? What technological advances can we look in the construction industry to help alleviate that labor pressure?
I want to zoom into your neck of the woods now, Andy. You're based in Green Bay. I believe your company also works in Door County. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges, demands, or maybe opportunities where you're working?
I think the biggest thing that comes to mind is really land availability. To be able to get those developments up in the system, to be able to have lots to build houses, it's definitely always a challenge of where can you build the homes? Because if you don't build the homes, you don't create the inventory. So I think that's our number one challenge we're seeing in our area. Our labor is as well. You know, the number of trades that are out there, our skilled labor force, like I said before, it's dwindling with as our older generation goes into retirement now. And how do we replace and fill that gap? Those are probably our two biggest areas of concern right now we're seeing in Northeast Wisconsin.
I want to check out some wish list items for you. We were talking about the Road to Housing Act and the key elements. Is there something that wasn't there or that needs to be sorted out? What would be on your wish list at that federal level?
Oh, I think this is a great start. There's a lot to this bill. I like that it looks at programs and brings them, I'm going to say, up to date. You know, raising cap funds in certain areas, reducing friction in some, you know, our environmental regulatories, whether it's, you know, passing permits and getting things moving through faster and quicker. It's a great start. And it's a great thing to see that it's a bipartisan support, because really housing isn't a political thing. It's really everybody needs to be involved.
Speaking of political things, you may have noticed we have a race for governor going on right now, the state legislature. Come January, we'll have a new governor, a lot of new people in the state legislature. If they came to you and said, hey, Andy, as a builder, what are your hopes for state law or regulation changes to help meet our housing needs? What would you tell them come January?
Well, I would tell them, let's work together. Because like I said, housing affects everybody, and we need everyone to work together to look at the programs and come to a consensus of how can we all support and move things forward, whether it's reducing regulation, creating more affordability for our Wisconsin families.
And I guess I should end on one really basic question. We keep hearing that, you know, we have a shortage of housing, a looming, increasing shortage of housing in Wisconsin. Do you see that? I mean, do you agree that we have a need that so far we're not quite meeting yet?
I totally agree. When I look at the numbers of where we were building, the number of units pre-recession levels, 2000, 2007, 2008, right in there, and I look at the number of permits pulled, the number of housing units we're building today, it's a vast gap in where we are. So we definitely need the houses, and not so much that the demand is there, but we need to produce the houses to incentivize companies and corporations to come to Wisconsin to know that, hey, we have a strong housing, we got great workforce, let's bring in and move our companies to Wisconsin, because it's going to help the economy as a whole.
Andy, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Andy Sellner is a partner for Allaire Homes Green Bay and president of the Wisconsin Builders Association. We've been talking about the 21st Century Road to Housing Act, now law in America, and how it'll affect housing construction here in the state.